going to go to 12:30, I'm not the only preacher here, you know. You don't have to worry about preachers. But I'm glad to see all of you here this morning. And I thought Sister Prescott wasn't here this morning. Kept listening for her testifying, saying, and I thought, well, she isn't here. What's happened? But I see she is here. Amen. And I appreciate the look of concern on your faces. And you preachers, I appreciate the look of sympathy that you have. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Anthony Woods, I heard him preach the other day, and he was preaching, and he said, Psalms is my favorite book. And after listening to Brother Prescott, I said to myself, I'm going to read Psalms again. I've read it a lot of times, but I'm missing something in that book. There's more there than I thought. Amen? Praise God. Well, we've had a wonderful time. Brother Meekum last night preached under such an anointing. Thank the Lord for that. And then I thank the Lord for Brother Prescott this morning preaching that wonderful message. I wish I had something to hook onto that with, but I don't have. But I'll just do the best I can. Thank you for the offering, for the good food. Amen. And just for being here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. I enjoyed the singing last night. Was that a new song Brother Mike had written?
Yeah.
New song. What did you see when he was singing? I just indulged me a little bit on my childhood or childlike fantasies. When he was singing, I saw in my mind an old man, a pair of khaki pants with a blue shirt, going up a path, sort of opening way up on the mountain where there's a few tombstones. In his arms, he carried some flowers. And I watched him as he climbed the hill. The sun is going down, but in the shadows is already there in the valley, but the sunlight was bright on that hillside. I saw him go to a little grave first. It had been there a long time. Tombstone was leaning just a little bit. Amen. I looked and I saw it was a little blonde-headed girl. Hadn't lived very long. Just a few years, and then she was taken from him. And I heard as he was placing flowers on her grave, I heard him listening to the voice of his wife in that hour when it seemed like nothing was going to take the place of that sweet little girl. And I heard his voice say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I watched him straighten up and walk up to the next grave. I looked at that grave, and it was a grave with a bronze marker on it. It was a little nicer than the little girl's. It had the same name that this man had, except for two things. At the end it said Junior, and at the front it said Sergeant. Amen. And I heard the voice of his wife again saying, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. I watched him, amen, as he put the flowers there, reached in old khaki pants, the ones he always wore to church. He's wearing special today. And he took that little flag out and stuck it in that grave.
Well.
Then I saw him move on to another grave up there on the mountain, right here in Virginia. That grave was fresh. Wasn't even grass growing on it yet. And I saw him as a little marker there. He took off his hat, white hair, shining in the sun. He got down on his knees. And he looked at that grave and remembered holding that hand for the last time. And her looking up at him with eyes already fading going the other direction. And she said to him, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. He got special flowers for her. They're from a bush that he brought to her there when they moved up in their cabin in the mountains. Just a young bride, she loved flowers. He planted a lilac bush for her. So he puts the lilacs on her grave. Amen. He stays knelt down there for quite a while. When he rises, I saw these knees imprinted on that fresh dirt where he knelt at her grave. And by this time, the sun was already going down. Down in the valley, they were lighting the lights in the windows because it's dark down there. Just enough light to get home. And I saw him turn, start toward his cabin. And when I saw him turn, start toward the cabin, I heard Brother Randy pick up on that song, "The Sun's Going to Shine Again." And I heard him saying, "The sun's going to shine again." And he went back toward his house humming, "Will the circle be unbroken?"
All right.
Hallelujah.
That's
great. Is that all right?
That's all right.
That's what I saw while they were saying. What'd you see? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sun's going to shine again. A lot of people has had those sad hours. And I know it's imagination, and I shouldn't be torn up about it, but it's just one of those things that when you get in these hills, they just get to talking to you, and you can't help it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So much for that.
That's great, man.
And I just shared my dream, my little fantasy that I had while they were singing. I like to get into things, don't you?
Yeah.
If you're going to sing, I want to get in with it. Amen. When the choir sings, I try to get in on that. I may not shout and jump around a lot. I did in my day, but that day's gone. Amen. All right. You pray for me because I don't have anything. And if I had something to hook on to Brother Prescott with, I'd be ashamed to use it right now. So I'm glad I ain't got anything. That's great. I loved it. I thought, what wonderful preaching from the book of Psalms. Amen. What wonderful preaching. And wonderful preaching last night is just a blessing to me. And you realize, you know, when you realize that it's not just the fact whether I'm invited to come back next year or not. It's the fact if I'll even be alive to be coming back next year, you know. I don't know about that. So every year is special to me to see you all and be in church with you all and look at those waterfalls and streams and just enjoy life. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of St. Matthew, second chapter, I thought we'd just have a little Christmas reading here, if y'all don't mind. Would you mind just bowing your heads with me and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus now, I'm going to need some help. Lord, I know what I feel like you've laid on my mind, but unless the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes by, I'll be a dismal failure. We thank you, Lord, because you have fed your sheep this morning. And I know, Lord, if we quit right now, they go home rejoicing over their souls being so fat from the word of God that's distributed among them today. We ask the Lord now in mercy to reach down. Help me to get across what you laid on my heart. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Psalm, Book of Matthew. Boy, I don't get there. I ain't going there. Amen. Book of St. Matthew, second chapter. I want to read several verses there, about 12 verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called, whatever that is, privily, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And you know what I'm thinking, just forget it. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, and I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasure, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God of a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. May God help me, amen, in the reading of the word. There's a couple of scriptures there that I want you to think about where he said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? But there's another scripture too, and I'll get to that after a while, where Satan said to Jesus in the fourth chapter, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made of bread. Sixth verse of that same chapter, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. He quoted scripture. You know, that's kind of what I want to zero in on, if I can, is the fact that, is he really the Son of God? Amen. You remember, they crucified him for it. If he wasn't, they crucified him for saying he was. Mark, you remember, he said, the priest asked him if he's the Son of God. He said, I am. And he said, hereafter, says the Son that see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So he said he was the Son of God. I mentioned Brother Anthony Woods, and he's a good friend of mine. And a lot of times I used to preach, I sometimes preach a little church over in the bottoms there in Missouri. And I usually pick him up and listen to him. He has a radio broadcast. He was preaching on that, the devil said, if thou be Son of God. That really is why this got started with my mind. But I begin to look at this and think about this. And, you know, sometimes you hear skeptics say, if it's really true that Jesus fulfilled so many Old Testament prophecies, why don't they mention him by name? You know, they think that, but you know, when we think about that, and I read this by, and it was in the, what, the Christian Jews Fellowship Ministries, I believe that's called, it's called, Christian Jews Fellowship Ministries, yes. I read there by Arthur Glass, and he wrote this, we're never going to find the name Jesus in the ancient Hebrew scriptures because it's an English word that's only been around for about 500 years. He didn't, the J sound, as in juice, didn't enter the English usage until 500 years ago. So he said, you're never going to find that as far as the name Jesus. I think if I remember reading it right, I think that the King James Bible, when it first came out, it had the Greek word for Jesus, and I don't know how to, and I can spell it for you, and I can say it's pronounced Jesus, is that right? Something like that. Amen. I'm looking at Brother Prescott. I know he knows, but he's too gracious to tell me that I'm wrong. But anyway, I'm just telling you, amen, that's the way it was pronounced. But in time, they changed to where we put that, and the Hebrew and the Latin and the Greek don't have a J sound like in juice. So if we're looking at that, we can't find it. But another thing that they said I liked, and I'm just telling what they said, if the Old Testament prophets had come right out and said that the Master's name was going to be, and this is what the Hebrew word is, it's Yeshua. Am I saying that right? I hope I am. Yeshua. There was three ways they said it. They said Yeshua, they said Yeshua, and they said Yoshua. Amen. Yehoshua. I'm saying it right. So anyway, they had those three ways. But Amen. So if they'd have told, if the Old Testament prophets told them that he was going to be named Yeshua, by the time he was born, that name wouldn't have meant anything. They'd have had so many little boys running around with that name that nobody would have been paying any attention to it. And so when we read that, we certainly can understand what they're saying there. But then they said something else. They said, are you certain that the Old Testament doesn't reveal his Hebrew Aramaic name, Yeshua, in subtler, clearly discernible ways? That's what they said. That got me interested. I got to study about that. And so I told you about those different names. But what that name means is salvation. Our God is salvation. That's a good name because the name of his was to be that he was to save his people from their sins. I hope you're just being gracious to me. Amen. So the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, implying there is not. In Matthew 2, Jesus is said to fulfill 6 prophecies. And that's that one chapter that I read to you. Actually, there's 8 prophets involved in that chapter. And so possibly he fulfilled 8 prophecies. But here's what I like. I hope you like this. Amen. There was a man by the name of Peter Stoner. He was a Christian mathematician. And he calculated what it would be the probability of Jesus of Nazareth fulfilling 8 of these prophecies. He calculated just 8 of the prophecies in the Bible. There's hundreds of prophecies concerning him. But he said if there were just 8 of them be fulfilled, it would be this. And I hope I'm reading it right. He said it would be roughly 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, that's 1 in 100 quadrillion just for him to fulfill that. Just how, and then he gave this example. That's enough if you took silver dollars, 100 quadrillion silver dollars, you could cover the state of Texas 2 foot deep in silver dollars. Now here's what you do. It's 800 miles across Texas. You get in a helicopter, you're flying over silver dollars 2 foot deep, you light. You run your arm 2 feet down and down, silver dollars. You pull out a dollar, and that's the one you're supposed to have. He said, that's what the chances were. I'm glad God doesn't bother with operating under bad or difficult circumstances, aren't you? So I'm just telling you that. And then there was a Marvin Kramer, and I like what Marvin said. He was reading from Luke there in the 2nd chapter where Simeon come in, and he looked at that baby Jesus. And he transliterated that into the Hebrew. And so when he translated that into the Hebrew, he read it like this. He's a lawyer from Israel. He's a lawyer. And he transliterated these scriptures. And here's what he read in the 2nd chapter 25 through 32. He read it like this. And I like the way he did this. Amen? All right. And there came a man, Jerusalem. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Same as just about waiting for the consolation of Israel to dwell. The Holy Ghost is upon him. I'm reading this, sorry. Anyway, come take the baby up in the arm. And you remember what he said? When he took him up in his arms, he blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But whenever Marvin Kramer, this lawyer in Haifa, Israel, when he transliterated that, he said, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy Yeshua. Amen. In the Hebrew, it said, I've seen thy head. Now, what I liked about this, I don't know if it'll mean anything to you or not, but when I liked it, and when I could read that, amen, and I think about it, he said, let thine eyes have seen thy Yeshua. Well, I got to look at Yeshua. So I got to looking that over a little more, and I went back to the book of Job. Job in the 13th chapter 15, 16 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. But in Hebrew, he also shall be my Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Probably before Abraham was ever traveling and doing the things he did. There was a man, amen, was sick, was being buffeted by the devil, having all kinds of trouble, and yet the Spirit of God came down And he said, even though I die, no matter what happens, one day I'm going to see my Yeshua. I'm going to see my Savior. Can you imagine? You know what I like about the Bible? It's just full, like the stars in the sky, of prophecies. They're just little ones here and there. But when you get to looking at it, how wonderful it is to know it was Jesus named in the Bible. I feel like maybe he was, more than we realize. I'm from Arkansas, of course, and I know you feel sorry for me, David. But you know what my daddy taught me when I was little? He said, son, in Arkansas, we have enough resources, enough of different things here. Amen. We could live just in ourselves and not have to have any help from any other state. We've not only got oil, we've got coal, and we've got a diamond mine. And there ain't nowhere else in the United States got a diamond mine. Amen. So made me pretty proud. I was in Arkansas. You're living out there on those hills, you know. But I got to think about this. You know, they think they've got all those diamonds that they found, they could find. But they just keep plowing that land, and every once in a while they find another diamond. Sometimes it's worth quite a bit. You know what? The Bible's like that. Every time you read it, you may think, I ain't going to get anything out of it. But it's a living book, amen. And every time you read it, God will give you another diamond, just here and there. And so when I read that, I was so happy to read that. Job said, amen, and I like that. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my Yeshua. Hallelujah. He'll be my Savior. He'll be what I need to have. I like that. I don't know about you. And so these magi, however you pronounce it, it's a short word for magicians, amen. They come, they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? He's not going to be born and raised up and become a king. He's king right now. No wonder that startled that king. No wonder he looked down. They had presence. He could see they had presence, that king. And he knew there's something going on. Amen. And it was right under his very eyes. God was raised up a Savior for this world. And though he tried to kill him, he can't kill him because God has got his hand on him. Amen. He's our Yeshua. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's Jesus. Amen. Whom we worship day by day and rejoice in the fact that he is a Savior to all those that call upon his name. I wish I could help you. Amen. Those magi said, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Then I thought of something else. I remembered a prophet that said in Numbers 24:17, there shall come a star of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Then I thought something else. Why did he do it? I don't know. But you remember when Jacob gathered his boys around and gave them those prophecies? And he began talking, he talked to Gad and he talked to Dan and gave them, told them what's going to be their future and what have you. Amen. And I remembered right in the middle of that, for no reason at all, verse 18 there in the 49th chapter of Genesis, he said, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Never no reason for saying that. All of a sudden he says, I've waited for thy Yeshua, O Lord. Why did he do that? It's just another little diamond that God was dropping down to let us know he's coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, I feel like this, and this is not in my message, but I feel like that we're living in a time when we ought to realize God's on the move again. Amen. And we need to start looking in that book. Amen. Because he's coming again, and there's some things in there that we probably have overlooked, but it'll come in handy. Amen. If we know it. Don't you believe it? I believe that. Amen. Amen. I thought about Balaam. He prophesied approximately 1,500 years before the birth of Christ, and he had gave this prophecy. Now, Balaam was known for his practicing magic more than being a prophet. You remember the Bible said that when the king, sent those Moabites and Midianites to him, they sent him also what they call it. They call him something for divination. It was a reward. It was a gift for divination, for divining, to curse Israel with. Amen. That's really not anything out of ordinary, because you remember when Saul was hunting for his mules, he couldn't find them. And the servant told him so. Now, in this town, in this city, there's a man, he's an honorable man, he's a prophet of God, and what he says come to pass. We go to hear him. He can tell us what we're looking for. And Saul said, we don't have a gift. Our bread is spent. We don't even have bread to give him. But that servant said, I've got a fourth part of a shekel of silver, and we'll give that to him. Amen. You remember? So it was common back then when you went to a prophet, you took a gift. And whenever it was Jeroboam, that his boy Abijah was dying, he sent to Ahijah. Hey man, if I can get him straightened out. Remember, he told his wife, said, you take 10 loaves of bread, some cracknels, and a cruse of honey. Amen. Take that because we're going to go over there and we'll ask the prophet. So I don't really think that we can make a lot about that. But when I look at this man that's born 1,500 years before the birth of Christ, and I realize, amen, there's something about him that we need to know about him. You remember what the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis 25:5-6? And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived. And he sent them, the Bible said, eastward unto the east country. Balaam was from that part of the world, amen. He's from Aram, the mountains of the east there. That's where he was from. And you remember, these sons of these concubines were sent back to the east country. Amen. So that was probably 500 years before Balaam was born. But they took with them something about the knowledge of Abraham. They took something about that man. I want you just kind of with me, just be with me just a little while. You remember what Abraham said? Amen. Whenever Balaam got ready, he started this. I'm hoping I read this right. Amen. But whenever God was talking to Abraham, he said this, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Then shall thy seed, also be thy seed. But whenever Balaam comes along, he says, who can count the dust of Jacob? Where did he pick up on that? Didn't it come probably from those children of Abraham that were sent out from his concubines into the east country? Didn't they kind of keep that word of mouth? Amen. And so here we are. We find here's a man that knows something about God. He's got some mixtures up as far as that's concerned. But he knows he gave some wonderful prophecies. Amen. But he's repeating what God told Abraham. Another thing that God told Abraham. Amen. If I can find it here, and I'm excited and nervous. Amen. When he's talking about, I said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Balaam comes along 500 years later, and he's being asked to curse Israel. Remember, he's up there looking down on Israel. He's supposed to curse them. But instead he says, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. Amen. You see what I'm trying to say? Amen. Here we are looking at this and wonder, where did Balaam get this knowledge? It came, I feel like, through the children that was those concubines that Abraham had sent back in the east. And remember, that's where the Magi were too. They were back there too. Amen. No doubt they were learning this. I wish the Lord would help me with this. Amen. I wrote this down. If 500 years Balaam, who lived in the part of Mesopotamia, close to where Abraham had one time lived, remembered the things that Abraham been told by the Lord, it is also possible that these Magi may have been descendants of Abraham. Their profession is close to that of Balaam's. They may have lived in the same area. And in my mind, I'm sure, whenever the children of Israel were taken captive and taken down into Babylon and down to Mesopotamia down there, they took with them their knowledge. And probably they shared their knowledge with those Magi. And they told them different things. And so the Magi, when they saw that star, amen, because of Balaam, because of what they knew about God, they picked up on that. And they came to find their Yeshua. Hallelujah. I believe that. I don't know that. But I'm just simply telling you, my friend, that when we talk about prophecy, we got to realize this old book is full of it. Hallelujah. This book is full of it. I want you to know. Amen. And I believe there's some secrets in there that you're going to find that you're not going to be able to pull off of your books on your library. I don't believe it's in those books. Amen. The former writers are not going to see that. But, amen, when the time comes, and when the fullness of time comes, God will be begin to reveal things to his people and show them things, to tell them about the things that come. I'm excited. I feel like the church may have to go through some hard time. I wish I didn't see the clouds on the horizon I see. But at the same time, I'm excited because I believe we're living in a time when God is on the move and God is going to start opening up scriptures for us that we can see that God is still God and he planted things in here that nobody else will see, but we'll get to see it. All right. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. I told you, these wise men came. They said, where is he? The devil said, if you're him, prove it. Amen. And he even used scripture to back it up. I told you I was listening to Brother Anthony Wood preaching. We got this. I've got to think about this. The Bible said, the man with the unclean spirit, remember he cried out? You remember the devil said, now are you the son? The Bible said in Mark 1, 21 through 28, talked about that man with the unclean spirit. He cried out, said, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Amen. Amen. The devil said, are you the Son of God? Well, his demons are crying out, he is. Amen. See what I mean? Amen. He's challenging, but the demons cried out. Then, again, I read, amen. The Bible said, talking about the healing of the Gadarene demoniac. When he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God or Supreme God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment us not. For he had said to them previously, he said to them, come out of man, the unclean, to the unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. But notice it, you, the Son of the Most High God. I'm telling you, I like that. I don't know about you, but I heard a black preacher, Ron Webb. He preaches out of a little old place down there, Poplar Bluff, a radio station. And he got to said, talking about this treasure in earthen vessels. And he said, I'll tell you what. Amen. If you get this right down inside, amen. If somebody gets healed and you prayed for them, you'll not say it's me. You'll say it's that treasure inside. You'll say it's that treasure inside. You'll not say I did that. It's that treasure inside. And he said, if you'll get it just right, the devil even testify about it. And then I hope I can find that. Or just come to me. I hope I can find that. And Daniel, where the king threw those three Hebrew children in the fire furnace, remember? Amen. Let me just, here we go. Amen. He said, if you get this just right, even the devil will testify about God being with you and helping you. Amen. And the Bible said, he's quoted this, Nebuchadnezzar's face and said to them, is it true? No, it's not. I'm too far up above it. Amen. All right. Let me get on down here. Yes, 26th verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, and here's what he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. He said, I say, if you get it right inside, the devil even testify that you got it. Hallelujah. Well, he corrected himself, but I mean, I couldn't get away with that, but he did. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But that's the way he quoted old Ron Webb. I don't think there's a whole lot maybe he's interested in listening to, but amen, I listened and I thought, man, amen. What I liked about it was the fact that he said the devil. He said, you servants of the Most High God. He didn't say, you say you're servants. He said, you're servants of the Most High God. And he said, if you'll get it just right, the devil even testify to it. And it looks like to me in the Bible here, amen, he told them, are those demons to come out. They said, you're the Son of the Most High God. And so I can see here in Isaiah 14 and 14, Satan said, I'll be like the Most High. In Matthew 4, he said, if thou be the Son of God, then he said, said, worship me. Jesus said, we can only worship God. The man of Gadara worshiped Jesus and spoke, and the man with the unclean spirit spoke, but Jesus spoke to the spirits. So who was really speaking? I suppose it was those devils in them that was talking to him. But here, amen, the Jews said, if you're the Son of God, then you're equal to God. Let me see if I can get this straight. I'm trying to get this all straightened out. Amen. Satan said, I'll be like the Most High. The unclean spirit called Jesus the Son of the Most High. The Jews said to be the Son of the Most High is to be equal with the Most High. Paul said in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God. Amen. In other words, he was the very essence of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Satan said, worship me. The demons cried out and worshiped Jesus. Paul said that every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. John said that he was the prince of the kings of the earth, and he had washed us from our sins in his own blood. Paul said in Acts 20:28, amen, we are, amen. The Bible said, take heed therefore unto yourselves, all the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, to feed the church of God which is purchased with his own blood. So God said, it's Jesus' blood. Paul said it's God's blood. Amen. Getting a little more in it, huh? A little stronger all the time. So we can see here, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so we can hear Paul, that it says, the angel said, he is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Our Lord Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. Well, I'm saying, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you talking about? What about this Yeshua? What about this Jesus? What are you saying in your heart? Amen. I'll tell you what. Amen. If demons fell down and worshiped him, and men, amen, would worship him, I think we need to make up our mind. It's time for us to do a little worshiping ourselves. I know, amen, there's time for another preacher. I realize that. But that's right. You know what I think you ought to do? I don't know how you feel about it. I don't even think about it. But long time ago or some time ago, I'm getting old. It's hard for me to get down and get up a lot of times. But Brother Prescott, I sat in my recliner one morning praying, early in the morning. And I thought, this just ain't right. Amen. A lot of times kneeling in my back hurts so bad I can't hardly get up and can't get around and get set down. But I said, this ain't right. And I remember Bill Houston, I told this over Brother Mike Roberts. Bill Houston preaching one day, just preaching away. Now this thing about prophecy, you're going to be sitting in the church playing with your cell phone, there'll be a prophecy go forth and it'll come right by you and you won't hear it. But I was listening to Bill Houston down in Texas, and Bill just preaching away, and all of a sudden, just like Jacob saying, I've waited on the Yeshua, amen. Amen. Just all of a sudden he said that. Bill Houston all of a sudden said, Charles Barnett, God don't intend for you to have those knees that you can't get around and preach with them. I was having trouble with the knee. Amen. God don't intend for you to have those knees like that. He wants your knees to be where you can preach the gospel. That was about 1980. Or I know it's later than that, about 1990, maybe somewhere in there. Amen. But I remember jumping out in the aisle when he said that. I said, I'll take that. I'll take that. And I thought that, and I said, I'm not satisfied, Lord. I don't feel good unless I bow in front of you once in a while. Amen. I need to worship you. I'm not bound to get a petition through. I'm bound because I'm worshiping you. Amen. And I got out of that chair and got down on my knees and just worshiped him. Just told him I loved him. And bowed in his presence, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. When I got down, you know I've been doing better ever since. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I found out I can stay on my knees longer than I thought I could. The devil was just selling me a bad bill of goods. Did you know that? You know what I'd like to see this morning? Yeah. Without any music, without anything, I'd just like to see us find a place and bow before him and just worship him. And just worship him. Just worship him. Our Yeshua. Our Yehoshua. Our Yeshua. Our Jesus. Our Lord. Amen. Let's worship him. just spend some time worshiping him.